Hi there, I am Ivy Lassiter, the host of the For Parents podcast. I am so glad you're here. Pop in your earbuds and multitask while we talk about parenting things, lessons learned, funny stories, and practical wisdom from normal people who have been there. Today, I'm talking to Amy, and Amy and I go to the same church, but that's not actually how we initially met. You might recall my last episode with my college roommate, Hannah. Okay, Amy's family and Hannah's family are long-term friends. And Amy's family are big, huge Auburn fans, War Eagle, which is how Hannah was first exposed to Auburn. And Auburn is how Hannah and I met. Are you tracking this triangle? So I actually met Amy through Hannah 20 years ago. And fast forward to today, Amy and I are reconnected. I love stuff like that. I think it's so cool. Amy is a mom of three kids under the age of five. When we recorded this, she was still pregnant. So you'll hear that. But by the time you were listening to this, she now has three children outside of the womb. Anyhow, I wanted to talk to Amy because her first child came incredibly early. And I wanted to share more of that story with you. And she is a business owner. And I wanted to get a little bit more insight on how she manages parenting while also growing a business. So here is our conversation. Tell me how, when your first baby was born, how it went differently than what you had planned. And of course, like yes. With your first, you have these things in your mind of like, it's going to do this and this and this. So tell me how that was different.
Yeah. So Davis, we got pregnant very easily. I had a very normal pregnancy. I would say that there was nothing concerning. Went to my 20-week appointment. Everything looked great. We found out she was a girl at that visit. And then 3 weeks later, we had had a totally normal day and sat down after kind of being busy all day at like 9 o'clock working on my computer. And I didn't know it, but I had a contraction. And didn't say anything to my husband. Lauren was sitting next to me. And it was mild. I mean, I was only 23 weeks. So, you know, everything's smaller at that point.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't intense, but, it was just like a cramp and then it stopped and then it happened again and then it stopped and it was just kind of that pattern. And so after like 20 minutes and I haven't said nothing to my husband, who's like 2 feet away
from
me.
Yes. Yeah.
I was like glancing at my phone, like timing them because I was like, I think these are regular. And I was like Googling Braxton Hicks and know nothing, first time ever being pregnant. And so I turned to him and I said, I think I'm having cramps like every 2 to 3 minutes. Do you think I should like call my doctor?
Like, yes.
And which sounds so silly, but I would never have labeled those as contractions at the time. I would have just labeled them as I'm having cramps.
Right.
And so went through the whole calling and the on-call doctor said to take some Tylenol, which we didn't have for some reason. So Lauren went to Kroger near our house and brought it back. And I laid down and they just kept getting stronger, stayed like exactly 2 to 3 minutes apart, very regular, and still wasn't like alarmed. I was more so thinking, you know, I'm going to take Tylenol, drink a bunch of water. They'll stop. And then I guess it started at 9 by 11. They were more intense, hadn't stopped, called again. They were like, okay, we think you should come in. Brought nothing, brought like my phone and a water bottle. Like, I don't think we even brought a phone charger. Like,
right. Just in hindsight, you're like, there was so much I just didn't know.
Yes.
Yeah.
And even on the car, I was like, they're just going to give me some medicine. We're going to go home. At the time, I was still working at a nurse at Medical City, the hospital that we were going to. And I was just thinking that, you know, this is just something they're going to take care of and I'll go home. And so I walked in contracting the whole time, like didn't even should not have been walking looking back. Walked into L&D. They were like, it's probably just, you know, round ligament pain, Braxton Hicks, and like it was not. And they just kept getting more intense. I, you know, changed, laid down, and then she checked me and was like immediately concerned. Saw that, you know, I was about to deliver this baby and brought in another nurse. She verified and then the switch flipped.
No.
They rolled me into an L&D room, my husband's signing consent forms, flipping on the warmer. I mean, it was wild, all within like 20 minutes.
Oh, my goodness. So
that was crazy. I remember, like, because they placed an epidural and looking at Lauren, we like locked eyes. And I was just thinking, like, what is happening? Like, we have no, like, we haven't even processed what's happening. And yeah, so to answer your question,
this was not planned.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And so, it was a whirlwind of chaos. I got a steroid and epidural. There was a nurse there who's become a dear friend of mine named Julie. And she grabbed my hand and was like, I want you to know I had a baby at 23 weeks and you can do this. That was a pivotal moment because I don't even think at that point I was thinking I'm going to have this baby. Like I was still just like in shock, I guess. And so they were able to stop the contractions. I was kind of in an upside down position and kind of everything died down a couple hours later with the epidural and like magnesium and a bunch of other things that they give you to stop contractions. And so they kind of halted everything and were like, okay, we're going to let you stay here. You obviously can't get out of bed. And then we'll reevaluate in the morning, see if maybe with gravity, she kind of migrates back up.
Whoa.
You could potentially be a candidate for a cerclage in the morning, a surgery to kind of stitch everything to keep her staying put if she does kind of move up. If not, we'll just keep you here.
For as long as
you can.
Wow.
And so, yeah, so we kind of got through the night. My parents were up there at that point. Like it was just, we were all crying. Like, oh. I mean, it was wild. And I don't know. And so I think that we just kind of expected, you know, maybe she would move and kind of waited for that next morning. She didn't. But my contractions had stayed at bay. So the plan was just to stay there with the goal being 24 weeks was kind of our first goal. And at the time, 23 weeks was still such a gray area of viability. And they kind of put everything in Lauren and I's court, which was weird. I wasn't expecting, like, I was kind of expecting for somebody to be like, okay, here's what we're going to do. And this is what we're going to do. But it was just so, like, you guys are deciding, like, are we going to be fully aggressive and, you know, intervening? Or are we going to, you know, if you are to deliver, let her pass. I mean, there was just huge, huge, huge choices and decisions of what to do for Davis.
So thinking back on those huge decisions, how did you make a decision?
So we had a lot of neonatologist specialists. It was kind of like a revolving door of statistics. And by, you know, after a day of that, I feel like I kind of started like tuning some of it out. I was like, okay, I've heard every grim statistic possible. I was on a ton of medicines. I just didn't feel like yourself. I was even in a clear space. But it was hard because I was an ICU nurse previously. And so I had like an adult mentality of, you know, I don't want my baby to suffer. I don't want how much is too aggressive. Like, obviously, this is not a question of ending her life in any capacity. It's a question of how far do we push this baby that's so fragile? What is an ethical choice?
Yes.
Is how
and
I felt.
Your experience played into
that.
Too.
Right.
Yeah.
And
sure.
So it was more of how far do we push Davis? And so at the end of the day, though, my husband thankfully is not in the medical field. And I felt like he was such like a blessing in that time to just be just more normal and not like clouded and jaded by
what you had seen.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, totally.
And
totally.
So, we, you know, talked. We were kind of that morning. They were like, okay, we need a decision by 5 o'clock. If you go back into labor, do you want to do everything to resuscitate her, you know, with the breathing tube, you know, all the whole shebang? And so we ultimately decided that we wanted to give her a chance and that if there were other plans for her life, that would be clear and that we, you know, could withdraw care if she was suffering in any capacity or we were. That would be a later choice. But when she was born, we wanted to give her every opportunity, to live. And so that was kind of our decision together. And we felt at peace about that and didn't really know, you know, what that outcome obviously would be. But it was a struggle to just decide, like, what is best with this tiny, fragile baby,
I know.
You know?
Yeah.
Because I mean, at the time, 23 was, it was not common. I mean, now, 5 years later, I feel like, I mean, they're intervening on 22-weekers, and it's amazing like what can be done. But at the time, it was just very, you know, she may never walk and talk and, you know, anything.
All the questions, the unknowns.
Yeah. And as a first-time mom, you go in thinking everything's perfect to, you might, you know, walk into, you know, a situation that you weren't preparing for. And what does that look like?
Yes.
So, yeah, it was wild.
So how long were y'all in the NICU?
We were there for 5 months, so 149 days. It was a long time. So she was born October 3rd, and she had two little cries. I remember it sounded like a little kitten or something. Like, she was so tiny. Going into the OR, they knew she was measuring small. They weren't sure if even like the smallest breathing tube would even fit in her airway. That was the whole. So going into the OR, we didn't even know if she would be able to be resuscitated because of her size.
Wait, so how many was she? 23 weeks when she was born?
23 and 3 days. Okay. So I ended up going back into labor 3 days later.
Okay.
My now OB, she happened to be on call that night, came in and was like, we have to get her out. She was breech. I was, you know, she was like, if we don't do a C-section now, there's no hope for the situation. So we ended up going and doing the C-section, rolling back there, not sure if they would be able to help, like, save her. And they were. We knew immediately that they got her airway, and that was kind of like step one. Took her to the NICU. Lauren went with her. And I stayed in the OR, and he just kind of stayed with her the whole time, and was so positive and like hopeful. And he was just, I don't know, the rock in the situation for sure.
Yes.
But yeah, so we, and that kind of started the whole NICU journey. And didn't have any experience in the NICU. So that was kind of a new language and world. And what's normal for those babies is totally different than anything else.
You're from the medical world. So
yeah,
it's like,
so I knew the language, but I didn't know any of the parameters or what's normal or what's expected or what is this going to look like. And but we had some amazing doctors and NICU nurses that really just came around our family and explained everything and walked with us those 5 months. And Davis was later like flower girls in two of their weddings. I mean, it was just really, really sweet.
Well, these people
became our
family.
Because your life pauses. I mean, everything paused. And that was another weird thing. I was like, everything kind of is going on around you, but you're here, and they become like family and friends. And because you just don't have a capacity really to be a friend or do, you know what I mean? Like my life now, like, it's just radically different how just the world just stops for you in that season. And so we did that for 5 months. And it was, you know, a roller coaster. Like they say, everyone's NICU journey is different. But the first 3 days are kind of the most critical. They do like scans of their brain and things like that. That kind of determines a path as well. If they have any bleeding in the brain is common with premature births just because they're so fragile. And she had no brain bleeds whatsoever, which was like a miracle in itself. And so that kind of gave us an idea of, you know, just how she might develop. But then there's all these other things that you don't know about either, like infections and all those things that people go through. And so it was just, it was a crazy journey.
Okay. Do you remember when y'all took her home?
I do.
But like, how was that?
Yeah. So we spent the night with her in the room the night before, and her sweet nurses like brought us Starbucks the next morning. Like, they just like made it special. And we, I was nervous. She was going to have another surgery. We went home with, like, she had a little ileostomy bag and a G-tube. And so there was just a lot of things kind of going on. And even being a nurse at the time,
it's so different.
When it's your kid, you're just not prepared.
Yeah.
So they kind of trained us on everything. And we had a night where we were doing everything on our own and spent the night. But it was just bittersweet because... Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody has a different opinion on the NICU. I mean, there's some people you'll talk to and they're like, I hate the NICU. It's the worst place ever. But like, it was such like a peaceful, like, and in the chaos, like, there was so much love and like joy in that room and just the people, mm-hmm. the relationships that came out of it that we would have never had had we not walked through that. And so I knew that I would grieve, like, those, seeing those girls every day, and like her nurses and her care team and her doctors and the chaplain, like everybody came yes. by to, you know, say goodbye to us and wish us, you know, luck, and people that were not even working that day came in, and it was just, it was so sweet. And they do, we had a little, you know, graduation gown that she wore, and they kind of parade you around the unit and you say, I mean, it's emotional. It's,
yes.
it's incredible. And, they just make it so sweet. And then you go home with like a list of all your appointments. I mean, yeah, like, it doesn't end.
Yeah.
And they prepared me for that. You were like, you know, you're going to be really busy for the next year and a half. And we were, and it was fine. But I don't know, you don't have that crutch of people that are taking care of it. It's now you and your husband.
Right.
And so that was an adjustment, but it was a sweet time. I mean, it wasn't anything that was unmanageable for us. It just became a new normal that
exactly.
took some time to,
yeah.
and it was normal for us. Somebody else probably would have thought, like, I can't believe we're having to do that. But like, we figured it out. And
you spent 5 months.
Yeah. It's not like you're.
So you're taking a step
exactly.
back of a really.
Exactly. Yeah. yeah. So.
Okay. You talking about how those people, the nurses, the chaplain, that they stepped into your chaos mm-hmm. and were such a peace or a help.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what I want to understand, because I feel like part of our job in life being Christ followers and mm-hmm. is like, how do we step into people's chaos and be that?
Yeah.
You know, like, what were they doing? What specific things were they doing, do you think?
I mean, honestly, I think it was the time. Like, we were up there so much, and just them spending time just talking, like sharing about, like being open, like we knew all about their life. I mean, all of them, some of them were dating their now husbands and like just all of the realness. I feel like Lauren would, you know, be up there late and I would be up there most of the day. And we kind of would switch, and they just, I don't know how to describe it, but they, seeing somebody care for your child and for your family, it's just a level of comfort. And, you know, I didn't have that with every person that took care
right,
of her, but,
true.
And that's another thing that, like, they, you know, forming a care team. So we had a smaller group of nurses that were always kind of assigned to Davis. So they knew her, they knew signs if something wasn't wrong and so, or wasn't right. And so I think just having a closer knit group, but just those sweet moments of just us in the room at 9 o'clock at night talking. And
like a presence thing.
Yes.
A it feeling was just, known thing too.
Yes. Like, and you're yeah. never, we were never alone. Like, we always had people that were just visiting, like the respiratory therapists and stuff that we were close to. And just everybody became part of her little story and
yeah.
her life and knew her and loved her. And just seeing other people love her, I just the peace that we had. I mean, because we never spent the night. We went home every night. It's not a thing really to spend the night
right.
unless you live far away. But
Or it's a really rough
yes,
night
yes,
or something. Like
yes.
that.
Yeah, and but. So just having like peace that I could go home and sleep and trust that she was in
Trust,
amazing
yeah.
hands. But yeah, I think just the closeness of being in the same room with somebody and connecting and talking about life when life is not normal, but you still have that normalcy of just connecting.
Yeah.
I think that was a huge part of it.
Yeah.
And they just made things special, like for holidays. I mean, we spent all the holidays that
oh,
was
yeah.
hard for me because I'm big on traditions and, you know, Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas was all her first. We're all at the hospital. And so emotionally for a mom, I feel like that was kind of hard, but Santa came and visited. I mean, just all the little sweet things that they try to do to make it feel somewhat
yeah.
normal.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just think that the closeness of the quarters of just being one-on-one
right.
with them for
right.
so long, it's hard to not develop close relationships.
Right. That's so good.
Yeah.
Okay. Thinking about the you know, the time in the hospital, the year and a mm-hmm. half after, in what ways did you experience God, his power, his provision? Like, what ways did you see him or experience him?
I mean, just looking at Davis, like, she should not be how she is statistically. I feel like that God, I mean, if she had born in any other time in history, like even 5 years ago,
oh.
she wouldn't be here. And so it made me really see how just God's timing and his just provision over her life was just exactly how it should be. I think that we just were given a miracle, and I don't feel like that happens to everybody. And I just felt so thankful that, you know, even if she wasn't, I mean, if she's my daughter and I'm biased, but even if she wasn't as perfect as I believe she is, the gift of who she is, I just had no idea like what was ahead. And so I don't know. I think that, you know, her verse that we kind of gave her, we did give her was Psalm, because she was born at 23 and 3 days. So the whole book of chapter of Psalm 23 was always on my heart during that NICU journey. And so like the Shane and Shane album, the Psalms album was something that I listened to throughout that time. And, but verse 23:3 was he restores my soul, and different translations of that is he restores my life. He gives me a new life. And so that I was like, God, that's not on accident that you had her born at 23 and 3, and that's your message for what you did for her life. And so I think that if anything, that takeaway was just such a sweet just reminder of like who God is and what he does, and that I get to see that through Davis and just the amount of people praying for her just blew my mind, like just and the amount of people that came around us and people my dad works with and like the Northeast were having masses that were, you know, praying in her honor, and just people that just kind of come out of the woodwork to just pray for your child. I feel like until you experience that, it's just hard to understand what that feels like, just how kind that is. Yeah. And just that, I don't know. And so I feel like we saw him in many ways show up and in so many sweet ways. And so it just kind of, even the hard, I felt like was just outweighed by the gift of the journey, you know?
Yes.
And so,
yes.
I feel like I always had a thankfulness of just that she's here, that we've walked through this. Yes, it was hard, but look at everything that happened through it and all the relationships and just the witness she is to others, you know? And so it's just, it's sweet. I just feel like God was kind and sweet to us, even in it all, and I would not change any of it just because of the good I've seen come from it, you know?
Isn't that interesting?
Which is like, a weird thing to say.
If you could go back, you wouldn't trade it.
Right, right.
Isn't that interesting? I feel that way too about certain really painful situations in my life. I'm like, no, because my understanding, my testimony of who God is.
Yeah, you would have never.
I wouldn't have experienced that. Yeah.
So,
were there times where you questioned God or was frustrated or like, what did you do with those? How did you handle that?
So when she was first born, that was the most difficult. And probably when she came home, I had a lot of anxiety. Like, I wouldn't say I was questioning God, but it was just like, I was scared. I went through a season of being really fearful of her getting sick or just protecting her. And I kind of took on more of that role of, you know, I'm supposed to protect her versus, you know, relying on the Lord for that. I think it was just a difficult thing. But I mean, when she first was born, I was very guarded. I wouldn't say that I was in that sweet season for like a couple weeks after I was just processing it. But I, you know, I didn't want to talk about her birthday. I didn't want to talk about anything in the future because I was so afraid that I was going to lose her and then we were going to get hurt. And so I remember just kind of like weeping, and because I stayed for a week on antepartum after we delivered. And I just remember in the middle of the night just weeping, like just processing, like what just happened? Mm-hmm. Like what is going on? And so I think that was kind of my time of really putting walls up for those first couple of weeks. Like I didn't feel like she was my child at first. Like I just, it was hard to process. Like, is this my daughter? Like, did I really just have a baby?
Yes. Yes.
And so I think that was kind of my wrestling period for sure. Not necessarily angry, but just confused and really afraid of getting hurt.
Afraid and sad.
Yeah.
Like sad that this is, I'm worrying about, all right, I've got this. Yeah.
So I don't think I was in a mindset of, you know, oh God, this is all going to work out great. I was in a mindset of like, I am scared and I want to protect myself and my heart from, you know, losing this child because of, you know, everything that had been shared with me those, you know, previous couple days and weeks. And so So I think that was kind of my grieving process and struggle with God. Yeah. If that makes sense, it wasn't, why is this happening? It was just more of, I don't want to get hurt. Yeah. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
I don't want to let myself go there.
Right.
But then, yeah, after we came home, I think that, you know, they kind of instill a huge fear in you before you leave about RSV and flu, and that, you know, she could die if she got RSV at this age and you need to stay home. And my husband and I joke that we kind of quarantined before COVID, so it wasn't like anything.
Wait, when was she born? What year?
Fall of 2018. Okay. And so 2019, we were home, and then COVID
and
hit.
And then you were home for longer.
So we had like a period of isolation for sure, and that was harder, I think, just to, you know, figure out a new, you know, where are we going to go to church? Like, we were at a church, but we weren't really going because we weren't allowed to go.
Yeah.
And that we couldn't go. So it was just kind of a season of definitely loneliness, I would say, and figuring out life and what is that going to look like for us. But yeah, I think the fear and anxiety of her getting sick was something that was definitely hard for me. And I don't think I had really full healing from that until having Carson.
Which is kind of great, like, yeah. So I want to talk about, because you're pregnant with your third.
Yes.
You have a second child. How do you feel like your perspective has shifted?
I think that I'm still, I still have things that are like little, probably triggers from the NICU that like flare up. Absolutely. But there's things that I have let go of, like my kid rolling around on the floor. If that would have been Davis, I would have been having like an internal nightmare and like that she's going to get sick, she's going to get germs, and like just those fears, the things that I can't control. Yes, I can be, you know, cautious with her, but letting go of a lot of that, I think that I've had a lot of freedom just with like allowing, you know, my child to just be a kid and that I can't control everything. And so I think just having Carson, having a full term delivery with her, that was just a healing process in general. And just kind of getting to experience pregnancy and a full-term healthy baby. And it was just a total, I feel like that was a completely new, it was kind of the first time like we were having a baby. Like it kind of felt like a whole new ball game.
A whole new experience. Yes.
She did things differently. She, you know, could swallow and like drink and everything.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it was just a really sweet kind of redemptive season.
Uh-huh.
And a season where I let go a little bit of a lot of the control and the fear. And I think time also, like being farther removed.
Right.
Somebody once asked me, do you feel like you would ever, like, do you ever feel like this will be like a distant memory? Like kind of when I was like, I don't know, like maybe. And, but it does, like it does feel like a lifetime ago. And so I just, I think that, I don't know, it's kind of interesting how it's still always going to be there.
Right.
But I feel like there's a lot of growth and freedom that comes from that, especially getting to experience kind of how it should feel and should be.
Right. Okay. So the process of you going from, you had a lot of fear about Davis getting RSV and flu. And now, you know, it's like, okay, so what I hear you saying is time helps.
Yeah.
Experience. Realizing like, oh, my child can get sick and then we're okay.
Right.
You know, do you have any other, like, when you're feeling really, like, debilitated by fear, what do you do?
I mean, I think that it's something, you know, obviously praying through those situations, but in the moment, it's almost like you have to kind of make a choice also to let go of certain things. But yeah, I feel like time and then realizing that it's not from the Lord, these feelings and fears. How do I let go of that? And it's a process.
It is. Yeah.
I wish it was something that I could say that, I prayed about it.
Let's do A, B, and then it's over.
And God healed me from that. But
because the reality is probably, you probably still have some of those little fears that bubble up in your head.
But I feel like I can define it more and more of where it's coming from, and that I've seen, you know, the other side now, and I've seen, you know, her recover from illnesses and things like that. And I've had experiences to do that. And so I think that helps. But also, like, you just don't know. Like when everything's new as a mom, you just don't know what, I mean, with anything really, but what the outcome's going to be. And so I think just kind of having repetitive of like, look, like this is her story. She is here. Like the Lord is protecting her. Like, and that's another word over her life that we've always said was that she's protected. Mm-hmm. And not from, you know, it's not saying that nothing bad is ever going to happen to her, but I do feel like God specifically has protected her life. And I have to remember that, and that I'm her mother, but I'm not going to be the one that protects her from everything, right. You know?
Well, you think about her life from the very beginning,
right.
And it's like, you couldn't, there was nothing you could do.
Right, right. It's a like, very helpless, like totally yeah. relying on God. If this is your plan, this is your plan. I mean, there's nothing we can do in this yeah. situation. And so, but yeah, I think that time and experience and just recognizing maybe where the fear is coming from.
Defining and, it.
Yeah.
I think talking about it.
Yes, yes. And just knowing that like, when people walk through traumatic experiences, like you are going to have repercussions and emotions that you don't even know what they are at the time. Yep. And how do you walk through that and figure it out? And you know, I think even stuff like this is healing just to talk through mm-hmm. it. And I've had a lot of opportunities to talk to people and share, you know, her story. And I think that that's just been healing and a constant reminder of God's faithfulness yeah. when I may forget, when it may feel like a distant
yeah.
thing. Yes. No, but look what God did. And so, yeah, I just.
That's good.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to totally switch gears.
Yes.
And we may not cry as much.
I know.
On this
gosh.
Year.
I'm like a basket
We both
case
have.
Of
we
emotions.
Both have. You're fine. And I'm like, why do I not have tissues in this
I know.
Podcasting room?
I know. You're good.
This is, we can tell this room is mainly males yes. doing podcasts.
Not okay. crying.
Okay. You. What is your title of your CEO? What?
Sure.
Okay. Okay. So in my mind,
yes.
you are running a really legit company.
Well, thank you.
I mean,
in my mind, it's a little hot mess.
It's
chaotic.
Very. It feels like a very pulled together. It tastes amazing product. And so what I know is you're a mom, you're about to have your third baby, balancing
yeah.
running a company
right.
and being a present mom. Like, how do you do that? And I love this. Like, there's never balance, right?
There's not.
So how do you set priorities and yeah. stick to those? Like, talk through navigating that.
Well, every part is a season. I mean, having a new baby, it kind of throws things off and then
right.
it's a little chaotic for a time period. I feel like we're in a really good rhythm now. But just to kind of rewind, I mean, we started this business when we were 25. It was very part-time
wow.
on a Saturday morning. And so this is not
on
an overnight
Saturday
thing.
Saturday morning?
Yeah. So I was working full-time as a nurse. I would, you know, work night shifts and go meet my family in this like shared use catering kitchen we were renting hourly. And I just decided I wanted to start a company in college. It was a very non-professional. I mean, we did a little business plan, but it was really just my grandmother makes these amazing rolls.
They're
and
very
I
good.
Love tradition.
Yes.
And I just wanted that to always be a part of our family. You know, I'm not going to lie. I think that I had, you know, I want to have independence and freedom to be a mom someday. And you know,
and
I don't.
I own my own company. That
oh
long.
Yeah, I'm going to be so wealthy, and I'm going to have all this flexibility, and it's going to be so great. And I don't want to be a nurse forever. And so that was kind of like my ticket. And so, which is so funny because it's like
it's the opposite
this is year 13, and it's a lot of work. And
yeah.
I, you know, I didn't even start paying myself until 2020. I mean, so it is not a glamorous thing.
Correct. Yeah,
it's hard work, and which is all good. I feel like I needed to learn those reality checks
yeah.
from my 25-year-old mentality. But yeah, so it was just to see if we could sell them. Like I always saw it as something big. I really did have a vision for it being a big company. I didn't know at all how we were going to do that. And I think if I did, we wouldn't have done it. But I think being naive was a really good thing
yeah,
in the
right.
beginning because right. I had, you know, all these high hopes and it kept me going. And so I think that if I had just expected it to be like, I don't know, if I feel like if I didn't have a bigger vision for it, it probably would have fizzled out and I would have been like, okay, like this is really hard. Like we're working all the time. Like I'm not paying myself. Like what are we doing?
Right.
And so yeah. So we,
but you had a big dream. Like,
oh yeah.
And you,
I did.
I think God gives us those things. Like,
yeah.
Hey, plants it in our brain.
People were probably like, she's crazy. I mean, I had people that I worked with. They're like, are you think you're going to make more selling roles than you do as a nurse? And I was like, someday I will. Like, and I just had this, like,
I love this.
I just was not altered by people thinking, okay, go for it. Like, I don't know. But my parents were super supportive. Like my inner circle was very supportive and excited and believed in it. And so I think that also helped, like having that affirmation and stuff. But yeah, it was a very part-time. I mean, I worked full-time until 20 or part-time, but I didn't quit nursing until 2021.
Wow.
Once we really felt like, okay, you know, I'm paying myself. We feel confident that we can make a decision to leave a very stable career.
Yes.
To do this, you know, and dive in and see where we can take it. And so, we had our own facility for the several years. My grandmother was in the bakery several days a week up until, you know, 2021. And it was just, it was a sweet time. Like we had a staff. We just figured out what we were doing. The food industry, the frozen food industry was something that we knew nothing about.
Yeah.
And we just learned as we went, and a lot of trial and error. We purposefully stayed small in Texas. We were in about 300 stores for a long time up until 2021. And didn't really start expanding and growing until I dove in full time in 2021.
Okay.
Right after I had Carson. And it's just been a kind of a new business since then.
Yeah.
So I shared with you, we don't self-manufacture anymore. So we have two different facilities that we have, you know, agreements with that produce all the rolls to our specifications and my grandmother's recipes. Basically so we can scale and grow without investing in a manufacturing facility. I learned that my skill set is not in running a facility, which is what we did for a long time. And that I am much more equipped to, you know, focus on the sales and marketing and work with our teams and that and stuff. So that's really what I do. So I work from home. It's a very much of a logistics, well-oiled machine of getting rolls from point A to point B. Then they go out to stores. And so we're now in about 1,300 to 1,400 stores throughout the Southeast and East Coast and growing from there. So
that is awesome.
But it didn't start like that.
Well, right.
It started in a little tiny store ordering 12 pans and we burned almost half of them and, you know, the real life stuff. So, and you know, this is year 13. So, I mean, it's been a long journey. So I'm glad it looks that way on the outside.
I just feel very proud when I go into Central Market and I'm like, I know.
But that. And that's also the thing I love. I mean, I work from home. My daughters are, they're in school 3 days a week. And so we just have found the balance. We're not working Saturdays. We have a lot more.
Yeah. Do you have because it's at home. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you have structure of like, these are my office time. These are my work times.
I wish I would say that.
But no. It just works for you.
It does. And I love it.
Yeah.
I don't mind it. And it doesn't feel like work to me. I mean, there are stressors. Like, it's definitely, you know, a stress. It never goes away. It's, you know, people ask me, are you taking maternity leave? I'm like, I really don't. Like, I will take downtime, but it's just part of our daily life.
Right.
And that probably sounds
unhealthy
and whatever to people on the outside.
Yeah.
But to us, it really works. And I do feel like we have balance and we don't, you know, Saturdays and Sundays, I'm really not working on my computer. I may work at, you know, 9 or 10 o'clock at night on some random things and then go to bed. But it's just so normal for us that it doesn't feel like, I don't know if that makes sense, but
well, yeah. And I feel like your work fills you up.
It does. Yeah.
A lot of ways. Yeah. Like, I know it's not all that way,
sure.
But like, and I think we can be better moms when we're filled up with some other projects.
Yeah.
If that's what God calls us to.
Right.
You know, and that's what it sounds like for you.
Yeah. And no day is the same. Like my schedules vary. Sometimes I'll have calls. Sometimes I'll be running, you know, I'm going to one of our facilities later today and picking up samples of a new product. And it's just
a new product.
You don't know. You know, like it's just, it varies. And I feel like having my girls in a set schedule throughout the week, I have predictability to where, you know, I schedule my calls on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursdays. Fridays, yes. I'm typically with my girls. So there's balance there. And I think we've just, it's taken a long time to figure that out. And I have more people to help now, too. Like I'm not doing everything, which, you know, I was in the past. And so I think kind of delegating some of those roles has been helpful just with having more children. We'll see how this third one goes into mix. Yeah. But yeah, so we just figure it out. And I do think that I do think it's a huge blessing that I get to do what I do, because I do feel that there is some balance for us to have. I mean, I'm not pulled to an office. I can, you know, be available. Mm-hmm. I'm allowed to make my schedule, you know, at this point. So it is kind of the nicer things that I kind of saw.
You can delegate. You can like, okay, we want to hire somebody to do this.
Sure.
Or we want to, you know, we're going to change this manufacturing plan because this doesn't work for me. Like you have control
and just
over
freeing up that we don't self-manufacture was like a whole new world of freedom for me and just, you know, our family life and things like that. So
how did you figure that out? How were you like, this is what we need to do?
You know, COVID was hard. We had a great year as far as sales go, but it was just staffing was hard.
Oh, gosh.
Just all of our cost of ingredients and supplies and all the things that kind of the nitty gritty stuff. It just became really difficult. And it just became more with having children. I couldn't be there like I needed to be. And and I didn't want to be there. I wanted to be, you know, home and working from home and things like that. And so I think that was just a natural of, you know, we don't feel called to invest in a larger manufacturing facility. I don't feel like this is my skill set. I feel like that was made very clear to me. And that I felt an overwhelming sense of we need to close that chapter and move on to this new chapter.
Yeah, that's good.
And it was just, it was clear. I feel like it was a weight lifted off of our shoulders for sure.
Yeah.
But there were definitely sweet times.
Yeah. So you talked about, and this is like one of my kind of last questions I want to ask, the things you enjoy about your work, like the legacy aspect of it, like that it's your grandmother's recipe. Yeah. What else?
I love that I feel like every year, and I say this every year, I feel like there are opportunities that come into our life and lap that we would never expect or dream. Like it's just fun and it's exciting. Like it just keeps me moving forward. I mean, I think the legacy thing is a huge motivator of, you know, I want this to be something that lasts, that my children enjoy, and that, you know, my grandmother, you know, can leave here on this earth something, you know, that's memorable and means something. And even though it's, you know, not, it's a product, it's bread, but it's just a sweet, I don't know, a story. And so
do you remember like when you were little, like your grandmother making these?
Yeah. So she started in high school, probably after I retired. But yeah, they were like a Christmas morning, Thanksgiving. And it was just such a presence of like family and tradition. And just that's what I didn't want to go away.
It's like it's the smell. It's the taste.
Yeah.
The experience. It's all where those things they do. They don't have to be fancy. They don't have to be. But like that, that matters. And it's memorable to you and will be for your girls. And
But no, I think it's just, it's exciting to me because, you know, I never know what the next year. I mean, we have a plan and an idea, but you don't know. Like, you don't know if you're going to get into this great retailer, if you're going to get deleted from this retailer or anything like that. And or just fun opportunities we've had, you know, that have come along our way. I would have never dreamed like that was possible. And so I think just that it's exciting to me is keeps me going, that that I do have flexibility, that I can be a mom and work even if it doesn't look traditional, like there are children in the background of calls or things like that, and that that's okay.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be so professional or buttoned up all the time, because that's not my life and that's not how we operate. And I think that that's pretty widely accepted now post-COVID,
right,
you know, more of the family dynamic with calls and things like that. But I don't know. I just think that it's just a sweet little season we're in of just chaos and growth, and we just figure it out and how to parent. And I think it's fun for my girls, you know, to have me around and see, you know, what mommy does and all those things.
Right.
And, I don't think they quite grasp it yet. They know we sell cinnamon rolls and stuff like that. But yeah, it's just, it's a neat, I do feel blessed that I get to do what I'm doing.
Yes. Yes.
But I also recognize that it has not always been this like.
Oh, gosh, I know. It's been a journey.
Yeah. I know. But I don't think that we would have been. I don't think that I would have appreciated it if we hadn't, you know.
Right.
Haven't taken 13 years. I mean, that's a long time.
To grow. Yes.
To get to where, like, I feel, you know, okay, we can kind of have balance now.
Right.
Like,
right.
And so.
I know. Well, I feel like I'm trying to remember when we first met each other, but I feel like I remember when you posted, like, on Facebook, I'm selling these cinnamon rolls. Yeah. Like,
we were friends because of Hannah, I think. Yeah.
So it was between 20 years ago. And so I'm like, no, I think I remember.
Probably.
It just doesn't feel like it was 13 years ago. I would have been like, it was 5,
I know. That's how I feel.
But if you are listening and you have not had the cinnamon rolls, you need to find the local grocery store that sells them.
Yes.
Because they are very tasty and run by a very special person. So.
Thank you.
So one of the things that jumped out to me about Amy's story is in practically the same breath, she would describe the chaos of having this new tiny baby Davis in the hospital. And yet she could confidently say it was a really sweet time. I think she even used the word like there was peace there. The same thing when she described the chaos of starting and growing a new business and the ups and downs of that. I mean, it would be in the same sentence. She'd be like, it's just been really sweet. Even as we talked about it, there was just a lot of peace in her voice. I don't know if you picked up on that. And I've thought about that. Her story, real life story, is a testament of God's faithfulness, that what God says he will do. And let me read a few promises that we are given from the Bible. Psalm 4:8 says, in peace, I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. Psalm 29:11, the Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. In Isaiah, though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, chaos, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord. And Jesus says this, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Amy's story is further proof that yes, the world is chaotic, the world is hard, but our God promises us in the midst of it to bring us peace. He promises us peace. He will give us peace. I'm convinced that parenting young kids is one of the more chaotic seasons of our lives. I mean, they're constantly changing, so you're constantly adapting. They need so much from us. They create constant messes, and they don't have the ability to clean it up themselves. At the end of the day, you will have had no moment, literally no moment to yourself. It is hard. It feels chaotic. However, the promise you have from God is he blesses you with peace. Seek it out. Look for it. Rest in a God who gives you peace. Thank you so much for listening. I know I've been MIA for like a year and a half, but I am looking forward to getting back in the rhythm. And I have missed this so much. I've missed my conversations. So I already have some great people lined up for upcoming episodes. Be sure and subscribe and you'll be hearing more episodes soon. And be sure to check out Roro's cinnamon rolls, dinner rolls. You guys, they are so good. If you go on their website, you can find where they sell it, and it's at like a grocery store that you shop at in the freezer section. I'm telling you, Amy brought me cinnamon rolls when we recorded, and the next day I made them for my boys and they loved them. So go get yourself some cinnamon rolls. Treat yourself, my friends. All right, talk to you next time.